The Daylen Kuntz Show, presented by Top Shelf Printers and Renaissance Insurance Group. Now, with Daylen Kuntz, here's Brady Hall.
Outside left, Daylen Kuntz, his first touch. Daylen will shoot the two. Got it! Just inside the arc. 13:55 to go first half. Daylen Kuntz down the lane, found the opening. Layup up and in. Foul as well. Count that basket. And off to the right side, right there, Daylen Kuntz, head of the key. Wants a Connor Creech pick. Gets that. Gets down the lane. Runner up there. Banking. Good. Could have been a foul as well. And no whistle. To his left side. Abercrombie. And a handoff to Kuntz. Shot clock at 8. Daylen gets inside that lane. Spins. Goes to Wisney. Lays it up there and in. Daylen puts that ball on the floor. Gets down the lane. Gets to the right wing. And a jump shot. Count it. Nice move again. Daylen Kuntz.
Man, that's kind of becoming the theme this week on the shows is Jerry Schimmel's call. From an awesome Monday night, we're still kind of enjoying that win. Welcome into the Daylen Kuntz Show, presented by Renaissance Insurance and Top Shelf Printers. Daylen, my man, congratulations. That was a lot of fun on Monday night, man.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a fun game. Just all the fans coming out and then just us being able to do that is pretty good.
Okay, we'll talk about the game, definitely. We want to get into that because that was a blast. But, knowing it was on ESPN like that, late night basketball, just kind of a cool vibe surrounding it. But then you see the student section just show out like that. How cool was that for you guys?
That was super cool. Like, for as long as my 3 years here, I haven't seen the student section like that before.
Really?
So, like, that was something different my first time seeing. And it's kind of like it really brought energy to, like, you know, the whole team and everybody else just because, like, you know, it's a late game. Some fans weren't able to make it, but then just seeing the students was able to show up and show up like that, it was real exciting.
So, and Angel and I were talking about this a little bit yesterday, but who better to speak on it than you? What was, like, the build-up to that? Because I know Coach Smiley, I know this team, you guys were working hard to promote this game and get folks out there and get the students out there and fill it up. You said it, though, on campus. It was kind of all over the place. There was a lot of promotion about that game and getting the students involved.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about it. Like, you know, we kind of, on social media, we had kind of sharing a little post and stuff, and then, like, there's a lot of flyers going around campus and just kind of putting them up everywhere and just really promoting the game, just trying to get students to come, everybody who get to come.
You know, and the beach day theme, like, that worked. I think everybody there was, like, in some kind of beach attire, too.
Yeah, there's some good costumes out there. It's funny.
So we were at the game. I recorded it just so I could see if Angel was on camera so he'd be famous, but unfortunately we did not get on the camera, Angel. But I did see, like, you're such a reserved guy. You're such a humble guy. But you got in that camera a little bit, man. You were showing out on that. But you were just, I mean, it was emotional, right? I mean, you were pumped up. You guys were all having a great game offensively and defensively. So you couldn't help it, man. It was cool to see that emotion come out.
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, just having fun with it. Just having fun, really.
Man, it was fun. Well, hopefully the same thing goes for tomorrow night with the student section coming out and supporting you and fans in general. It's really cool because we were talking about this. Like, it can be Bank of Colorado Arena can really be a special place. And basketball in this area in Greeley can really grow. But I think it always in college basketball, it always seems to start with the student section. If you can get the students really engaged and have a good time at those games, they're going to keep coming back. Then they're going to tell their friends about the team. Maybe even people that aren't fans of basketball want to come check it out, and suddenly they are fans of basketball. So it does kind of start with the students getting involved with what you guys are doing. Tomorrow night, a little pizza action. Mm-hmm. Students come in and get some free pizza.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just kind of us being able to win that game with, you know, all them coming just kind of make them want to come back, you know, invite friends, invite family, invite whoever. Then just be like, yeah, it was fun last time.
Yeah.
So, you know, just getting them to come back and then just seeing how it goes from there.
If you guys want to shoot us a text about the game on our First Advantage text line, you can 888-530-0043. You had a great game as usual. I mean, 16 points for you, 6 boards, 4 assists. You and Dalton both had 16 points. Riley Abercrombie couldn't miss. He had 21.7 of 8 from the 3-point line. You guys win 88-54. And once you guys started that game, it was from tip to the finish. You were on fire, both offensively and defensively. You never turned back. That was that the most complete game for you guys? I mean, you've had some good games, of course, mm-hmm. and I remember specifically that CSU game. It felt a lot like that game. Was that the most complete game of the season?
Yeah, I'd say it's one of them. I feel like that was just an example of us, you know, playing for a whole 40 minutes and not playing for spurts or not just a half, not just 20 minutes. Just playing a whole 40 minutes defensively and offensively. And then, like, obviously we was able to hit shots and, you know, even guarding. You know, we did well guarding, made it tough for them, and we just kind of strung together stops and then just really never looked back.
Yeah, it was just one of those games where everything was going right for you guys. And, you know, Weber State, they couldn't score. But it was also your defense was they weren't getting anything easy. You know, when you see a team kind of struggling early, the way they can get back into a game is if they're getting steals, they're getting fast breaks, they're getting wide open threes. I didn't really see any of that on Monday night from Weber State.
Yeah, that was just part of the game plan, just kind of make it tougher for them to score, kind of dictate on the defensive end, taking away threes, getting back in transition, building walls. But, just trying to make it difficult for them to score and then just us being able to get stops and get out on the offensive end.
Talk to our listeners a little bit. Like, what was your primary defense that you guys were running throughout the game?
It was just man.
Just man.
Just man, yeah. We just like how we guarded certain people. Like, some people were snipers, some people were players or drivers, you know what I mean? We're just kind of making sure we're all knowing our matchups and knowing how we can help each other out.
Did Weber State change up at the half or anything, try to change their defenses going up against you? Because they're trying to slow you down. Did you see any different looks throughout the game?
Yeah, kind of. So in the beginning, they kind of started off with the bigger lineup, and then as the game went on, they went to a smaller lineup. So, like, we're... It was more like Dylan Jones is at the five, and they had four guards in Dylan Jones, which is basically almost five guards. But just kind of like that on defense, and they are switching a lot more, switching with everybody, all the likes and stuff. And then I think they tried like a possession of the 1-3-1, but
yeah,
it didn't really
work. Yeah.
And then after that, they didn't go back to that, and they just kind of just stayed man with the smaller lineup.
Does that do anything? Like, you see defenses do that. They'll throw out, okay, we're going to go with a zone or some kind of variation of the zone.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like, okay, there's pressure to break that zone quickly so they stop doing it? Like, if we can solve that zone, or even if they start pressing, if we can start solving those things quickly, they'll go back to a man, and then you'll just keep beating them in that way.
Yeah, definitely. Just knowing that if we handle it right, then they'll probably end up switching out of it. But if we don't handle it, then they're probably just going to ramp up the pressure in the zone.
Get some momentum almost on that defensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. You guys were just on fire. It just seemed like, I mean, you out-rebounded them. You had way more assists than them. Obviously, way more points than them, and that's typically how it works. But what were you seeing, man? I mean, you were cutting. Like, you were driving to the lane. That's how you were kind of getting your scores. Riley was shooting from outside. Dalton was kind of doing a little mix of both. Matt Johnson started driving specifically in that second half. What were you guys seeing out there that was working just so well?
Just being aggressive, you know, not playing on our heels. Just being decisive with whatever we're doing, if it's to shoot it, to drive it, to make the pass, just being decisive and just kind of playing and letting the game tell us what to do on the offensive end.
What was the halftime conversation like? Because you guys are up 35-21. You're winning. You're in a great spot at that point. But we've talked about this, where, you know, you want to try to finish those games. You want to play that full on 40 minutes of basketball. What was the halftime speech like? Because you guys came out and didn't let up. You scored 53. They scored 33. So what was the conversation like?
It was just that, you know, like, just not to get loose, you know, just be tight with our game, still staying tight, make sure that we're still going to apply pressure and stuff, just because, like, we've been in a position where we're down 14 at halftime, and we've came back like it's nothing within the first media.
Right.
So just knowing that we have to still keep applying pressure and knowing that it's not over, and just, you know, just keep winning media by media, and then just kind of go from there.
Yeah, and again, you didn't slow up at all. You kept going. But really, a 14-point lead in basketball is nothing, right?
It's not much. I mean, it's really like a few possessions and a few stops, and then it's right back in the game.
And then they get that momentum going. Mm-hmm. So there was never really a point in that game, though, where it felt like Weber State was going to get any kind of momentum. You guys kept cutting that off. I didn't really feel like there was that point in this one. I mean, maybe there was a couple of possessions where you looked at and said, okay, maybe a turnover or something along those lines. But for the most part, you just kept cutting that off, and then they'd score, you just answer it with another big one down on the other end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a big thing, like, throughout that second half, Coach Smiley kept mentioning, and all the coaches were mentioning, honestly, but just not trading buckets, making sure we're still getting stops and what's going on. And, like, because I think there's a few possessions we're kind of starting to trade buckets. And then I think, like, they had called a timeout. He's like, hey, we got to make sure we're not trading buckets, because, you know, that's not how we got this lead. We got this lead by getting stops and getting out and running. That's how we separate.
Yeah, no, I mean, you saw it. It was just a little bit of everything in that combination on the offensive side of the ball. And it just feels like if you guys can score like that, and I know, you know, Riley Abercrombie's not going to go 7-of-8 every single night, man. I mean, we just, maybe, yeah, but I doubt it. But if he's rolling, and then you and Dalton are doing your thing, Matt Johnson is driving and getting those buckets that way, it does. I mean, I talked to you about it before the show started. It feels like you guys couldn't beat it. I felt that way anyway, because at your best, I think you can be very dangerous. But seeing that game against the Wildcats, knowing you lost to them a couple weeks ago, that game right there shows me, man, get in, once you're in that tournament, you guys could make a real run. Is that kind of how you feel at this point, that maybe that was the spark that's going to lift you guys and really build that momentum into the conference tournament?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just using that game and trying to build on it each game by game, just knowing that, like, we still have an opportunity to put ourselves in a good position in going into the tournament. And then, like, I mean, like the coaches always say, you want to be playing your best basketball around, like, February through March. Like, that's the times you want to be playing your best basketball.
Sure, yeah. Well, and what I liked about this game, too, Dalen, is you guys blew them out in such a big way that you also got to see a lot of the younger guys come in and mm-hmm. get some meaningful time. Obviously, we know guys like Langston Reynolds and Caleb Shaw, they're going to come in and get some minutes depending on the night and such. But you're seeing, like, Jalen Page never mm-hmm. scored a basket in his Division I college career, yeah. right? And he got his first one. He got a three-pointer with a hand in his face,
yeah,
his first career points, man. That's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, see the young guys get in, like Juju, even Bryce and Jamel got in, too. And then Dawson also hit a big three at the end.
Yeah,
deep three he had on the left wing. That's pretty cool.
No, everybody was really getting involved in this game. And talking about, because we talked about this a lot throughout the beginning of the season, or especially at the beginning of the season, was, okay, there's going to be a lot of pressure on you and Dalton and Matt. You're going to ask a lot of these guys, these younger guys, these freshmen, to step up. And I think we've seen some variations of that. Brock Wisney, we've talked about a lot. And again, it's just an amazing difference from him at the beginning of the season to seeing him on Monday night. You were chatting about this last week on the show, I think, or 2 weeks ago, was about how he just has to find that calmness out there. The game will slow down. It looked like it slowed down a little bit for him on Monday night.
Yeah, over like this last, you know, since the last time we talked about it, the game's been slowing down for him. You can just kind of see each game by game, he's slowly getting better and better. And just, you know, you can just kind of see how he's calming down and just letting the game come to him.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, looking at their big guy. Who's Weber State's big guy? I just blanked out on his.
Chu, I think.
Yeah, he's a solid player.
Yeah, he's
and
a good player.
At the beginning of that game, it looked like Weber State was really going to try to go to him, get him involved early. But I thought, you know, mixture between Brock Wisney and Theo Hughes, they kind of shut that off for the most part. So he really never got into a crazy rhythm.
Yeah, they handled it pretty well this game because like when we played him the first time. Their big guy actually played pretty good against us.
Yeah.
He played pretty well down low, and they kept, you know, just feeding it into him. And that was a big emphasis for the bigs coming in this game, just trying to cut off his water early and make it hard for him for everything he's doing. And, I mean, him and Theo both went at it, and they attacked it the right way and was just able to help us out with that.
And Smiley, so the only thing he took away negatively from that is they both kind of got in foul trouble off and on. But that's what's nice if you can get two guys like that that can interchange. If one gets in foul trouble, you have the other guy come in to help out. And so that was nice to see both of them playing so well, especially defensively.
Yeah, that was good to see them both play well defensively, just kind of, you know, just kind of get them off the boards, rebounding, and, you know, just getting the break going.
Talk to me about Langston Reynolds for our listeners, you know, these younger guys that we don't see a lot. He played 15 minutes, and he had 2 points, you know, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. But, Dalen, he kind of looks the part. He looks like he could be one of those really good players. I think, Angel, you were making a comparison saying, like, it's like a mix of Matt Johnson and Dalen, right? Kind of a mix there. Do you see that at all? Talk to us a little bit about Langston.
Yeah, Langston's a good player. I mean, kind of same thing with him, like I said with Brock, just him getting the game to slow down for him. Like, he's a good player. I mean, he defends well. He's like a slasher type, you know. He gets downhill really well, finishes well. But the big thing for him is just like getting the game to slow down. I mean, once he kind of sees the game slow down for him, then you'll start to see like a lot more what he could really do.
Well, these kind of games are so important. A, you win them, and you win them decidedly, but you get these younger guys in that get that real feel to it and saying, hey, I know we're up by 30 or whatever, but we still have to close out the game. Mm-hmm. We can't give them a 10-0 run or anything because then suddenly starters are going to have to get back in or something along those lines. So I like that aspect of it because it does give them those real minutes of game time.
Yeah, and they're playing against some real guys when they're playing. It's not like they're just playing, you know, guys who aren't good, but, like, you know, that team was a good team, and they still had some of their players playing. And just for him to be able to get out there and just kind of experience that and play against some of them type of players to help him out, you know, as the season goes on, as the rest of the conference comes.
You're listening to the Dalen Coons Show presented by Renaissance Insurance and Top Shelf Printers. Okay, the game was late. I couldn't go to sleep. I got done. I drove back up to Fort Collins, and it took me forever to go to sleep. What is that like for you, man? You're riding high from this game. This, like we said, the students are crazy. It's on ESPN. You know, it's a big win for you. How long did it take you to pass out, man?
It took a little while. I mean, by the time I got back, settled and everything, ate. it was already like probably almost one.
Oh yeah.
So it was just like eight by the time that I was like fell asleep.
What was yesterday like for you guys? Did you have a lighter practice? Did you have practice? What was that? What was the Tuesday following a late night game?
So yesterday we didn't have practice. We just had film and weights. But then, you know, of course, like people still got in and got up shots. Just, you know, keeping it light on our bodies just because, you know, we got practice today and stuff. But
sure. Back at it today.
It wasn't too heavy yesterday.
And now turn around and going up against, Portland State.
Yep, Portland
tomorrow State. Night, Portland State, you guys did beat last time out. That was a tight game. You won 69-67.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you'll be looking to carry that momentum over. We'll talk about the upcoming schedule coming up here in just a moment. And we got to talk a little Super Bowl with you, obviously. Mm-hmm. Riley mentioned it yesterday that didn't he say he's leaning toward Kansas City because Dalen's a couple of teammates are rooting for Kansas City? So there you go, man. I don't know if he's the biggest football fan in the world, but I know you're a big Chiefs guy.
Yeah, me, Juju, Zach, Coach Dorian.
So there's a lot of Chiefs fans.
Yeah, we got
okay.
Chiefs fans on the team.
Well, we'll talk about the Super Bowl a little bit. It's also a big night in the NBA with LeBron James breaking the record. He's the all-time scoring leader in the NBA, so we'll talk about that a little bit, too, on the other side. It's the Dalen Coontz Show, presented by Renaissance Insurance and Top Shelf Printers on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Your home for UNC basketball. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
It was a big night in sports last night with LeBron James breaking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record. He is now the all-time leader in scoring. So our poll question today, Dalen, welcome back into the Dalen Coontz Show, presented by Renaissance Insurance and Top Shelf Printing. Where does LeBron James rank amongst the NBA greatest of all time? Is he the GOAT? Is he top three? Is he top five? Is he top 10? Now, you and I are different eras of basketball, but, you know, I didn't watch Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, but I can understand how great they are.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you put him? Because, I mean, you saw Kobe a little bit, right?
Yeah, I saw Kobe.
So you saw Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see Jordan, but you have a ability to go back and watch stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where does he stand?
I think LeBron's number one.
He's number one?
I think you're going
number one. So we'll see where the Hooligans are on this one today. See, I'm still going Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
I just... LeBron is a better all-around player than Jordan, I think. Maybe even mm-hmm. Kobe, for that matter. But Jordan was just ridiculous, man.
Yeah, that's how I like to say. I never got to just watch a game live, but
yeah,
I mean, I've seen the highlights.
You're going with LeBron. Do you think that's because you pretty much grew up on LeBron James too? I kind of grew up on Michael Jordan. I was a little too young to understand what I was watching mm-hmm. when he was winning six titles, but the last three I was, you know, 10 or 11 or 12 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you think that's part of it? Is like you grew up watching him and he won some titles and he's been the greatest NBA player of our generation, really, the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like pretty much as long as I can remember, I feel like I've been watching him like forever, like since I was growing, like since I was little all the way till now. Like I feel like I've been always watching LeBron and I mean, he's kind of been the guy to me.
So he's your GOAT.
Yeah.
He's the GOAT, according to Dalen Coontz. Okay, go vote at thewholeshow.com, and we'll see where that one ends up. LeBron's just interesting to me. And again, I know Jordan had great teams, too. Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman. I mean, there were some really good players that came to him or whatever. They traded for Dennis Rodman back in the day. I don't know. LeBron jumping from team to team, kind of. Maybe started the process of just kind of putting him down below Jordan. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what it is.
I don't know. I don't know.
Do you wish he would have just stayed in Cleveland? Do you think it would have been sweeter if he would have stayed in Cleveland and won all three of his championships in Cleveland? Do you think that would have cemented his name a little bit better for some of the doubters?
Probably, because when people look at Kobe and Jordan, they was on the same team their whole career, pretty much. So it's like
it is something that matters to some.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I feel like even if he is switching teams, like he's still doing like crazy things. He's if not doing the same thing, he's doing more. You know, like
yeah.
I don't know.
No, I mean, listen. He is for me. He's easily top five. There's no question. He's top five. I just, Jordan was amazing. Didn't see Larry Bird, didn't see Magic Johnson. I just know what they did for the game. Mm-hmm. Kobe was ridiculous. And Kobe probably, I'm a little biased toward Kobe because I saw him destroy the Nuggets all the time. He would make shots where he's like laying down almost.
Every time.
I mean, it was.
Like he had some when he came here.
Just, oh, every. You go to Nuggets games, and he just was ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm biased there because I watched a lot of Kobe Bryant. I watched a lot of Lakers. But I'll give you this. Kobe won three of those titles with another great Shaq. I mean, so they all kind of have really great players alongside when they're going to win titles.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just a little different. He did it with some different teams.
Did it with different teams, different stars.
Pretty much the same thing, though.
But you could argue, yeah. I mean, the counter argument to me is like, you know, Scottie Pippen is probably one of the most underrated players, maybe of all time. Mm-hmm. You know, because he was always just thought of as Michael Jordan's Robin, like Batman Robin. But Pippen probably could have went on any team for the length of his career and been the guy too.
Yeah, definitely, he would have been the guy easy on any other team.
So that's why, even with me, I don't love the argument of, well, LeBron did it with Wade and Bosh. Bosh, obviously, is not stacking up with Scottie Pippen in my mind, and some of them Shaq. They all you have to have a really good team around you.
Yeah.
In order to win multiple titles, for
sure.
Yeah,
it's hard to win multiple titles if it's just you. Like, it's hard to win a title if it's just you. So,
Nuggets going to win it all this year? What do you think?
I like the Nuggets. Nuggets are good, though.
You don't think they can get over the hump, man? What did you think of the Mavs getting Kyrie Irving?
That's interesting. I'm kind of interested to see how that's going to work with him and Luka. Like, how they're
going to. It could either be amazing or it just kind of fizzles away.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of interested to see how that's going to play out, though. That was interesting to me.
Who's your favorite? Who are you picking? Who are you picking to go to the finals?
I don't know. I've been struggling trying to pick because I feel like
the Clippers are coming on again. Mm-hmm. Phoenix is probably going to get it. I mean, they've kind of been getting it going.
Yeah, I feel like the Warriors are always going. They're always
Warriors terrify me.
They're once they get going, it's like you can't really do much.
Well, my worry is that the Nuggets are going to lock up the one seed, and right around the time Steph gets healthy, Golden State's going to lock up eight.
Yeah,
and then there we go. We got a rematch from last year.
Yeah.
Angel's not as scared of that matchup. I'm terrified of that matchup.
Oh, no, that could go. It could either go really good or really bad.
Just Curry's like Bryant in that way. He's a Nugget killer. Yeah. I mean, I've seen it too much. And you know, did it with George Karl's last year. It was Steph Curry and company that it basically ended George Karl's career.
Yeah. Oh, no. I feel like it's kind of, it could go a lot of ways. Just like, because a lot of teams is good, but like, I don't know. I can't really.
You're scared of the Pelicans still. You're worried about the Pelicans.
Yeah, they're just a younger team. I feel like they have good chemistry there. That one guy that keeps beating, like, puts up like 30 something against the Nuggets the last two games, and then whenever Zion comes back, he's just a physical threat like to deal with. And you got to put Jokic or Gordon on him to try to slow him down. But then Herb Jones, Kyra Lewis, those guys, they got a really good young team there.
Yeah,
they do.
Dalen, what about Memphis? A guy you played in against
Memphis.
With David Roddy. I know Roddy's kind of a. It's just fun because it's a local guy, you know, a guy that went to college in this area. He's getting a few minutes. He's done well. But Ja Morant's just, he's one of those guys. I lost an argument to Tanner. Tanner and I had an argument. I said, Zion's going to be better of those two. And Ja is winning that argument. He's winning that argument.
Yeah, I like Memphis, though. Memphis is good. The way they play is exciting. Like, that's the type of style of play I like. Like, it's really exciting.
And why don't we talk about the Kings? The Kings are third in the West, but they're like an under-the-radar kind of team right now.
Yeah, a lot of people probably, that is true.
It's weird.
Well, De'Aaron Fox, I like him.
Yeah, they're 30-23.
Mm-hmm.
They're right there. They're right behind Memphis. You know, Denver's starting to pull away a little bit. It'll be fun. How about the Eastern Conference? I mean, what's interesting to me is Brooklyn. They're like, obviously Kyrie's gone. Now they're sitting down to evaluate what their future looks like. They're 32-22. They're still a pretty good team, which is why this whole thing is bizarre to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's going to change though with Kyrie leaving. That's when, like, it's going to change kind of the dynamic of their team. Because, you know, at first when it's him and KD, then you got two big stars to worry about. Now it's like mainly KD. But they also got Spencer Dinwiddie. He's good. He went to CU.
Yeah.
I like his game a lot. But and that's kind of where he started playing real well at. And then that's when he kind of went from there to Dallas.
Yeah, and I'll give you this, too, on the LeBron James argument. Just because you put a super team together doesn't always mean it's going to work out.
Yeah, exactly.
If you think about it, overall, it really didn't work out for Brooklyn. I mean, yeah, they were playoffs and stuff, but when they tried to team up James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving, it didn't really work. So it's harder to do that than people think.
Yeah, it's just too much because, like, you know, those all three of them are real ball dominant.
And, yeah.
Just, you know, they all, like, all three of them went the last shot, really. So it's, like, kind of, it's just kind of hard to balance that when you got Harden being Harden and then Kyrie being Kyrie and you got KD, like.
Not enough basketballs to go around.
Not enough basketballs to go around, though.
All right, so Super Bowl weekend, we're getting ready for it. We're getting darn close. You're a Chiefs guy. You were born in Kansas City. Is that right?
Yeah, I was born in Kansas City.
And then moved. When did you move to? When did you move to Denver?
I was young, probably like I want to say maybe one.
But you still like your family and stuff.
That, probably some months. I don't know. I was young though.
But your family, they're Chiefs fans, right?
Yeah, my dad's side of the family.
So
Chiefs fans.
You kind of carried
Chiefs
that.
Fans, and then my mom's side is Broncos because they're from Denver.
So there's a battle there sometimes. When they,
yeah, a little bit, but Chiefs is the winning team.
All right, so Chiefs going to take. I think it's going to be a good matchup. This was a matchup I was rooting for. I think right now Philly is a 1.5 point favorite. But what do you think? You think it's going to be Chiefs going to get their second Super Bowl in 4 years?
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
No doubt.
Got all the faith in them.
Okay. Well, that might help my pick going forward.
Especially with this, they had this 2 weeks off, Mahomes to get right, and then the other guys that had injury get right. Have a full squad and just play.
That's a big deal, too, getting that 2 weeks to get his ankle going. All right, 35 minutes after the hour. There it is from Dalen. He's got LeBron as the GOAT. He's got the Nuggets maybe not winning a championship this year, and then the Chiefs winning. So those are your predictions. We're locking them in.
Yep.
All right, we'll take a short break. When we come back, let's look at the upcoming schedule. And we're already at that point where we're saying the remaining schedule, not very many games left in the regular season for UNC as they're trying to set themselves up for a monster run in the Big Sky Conference Tournament. We'll talk to more about that with Dalen coming up, but first let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the Dalen Kuntz Show. Kind of talking about a really nice win on Monday night for the Bears. Picking Dalen's brain about some of the other stuff going on. Did you hear about Aaron Rodgers? He's going to go to like a 4-day retreat, some dark cabin. So it's like a 4-day darkness journey.
Yeah, I heard about that. I don't know.
So a texter just asked, he said, Chris said, would Dalen enter a complete dark room for 4 days like Rodgers? Would you do that?
No, I couldn't.
What if they gave you $1 million to do it?
Yeah, that would probably be my best. I'll try something like that. But just to do it just because, probably not.
What if they gave you $500 to do it? $1,000? Like, what's the limit?
For 4 days?
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Like $5,000, $10,000, $100,000? Is there a limit of money?
I'd say, like, the lowest would be, like, maybe $5,000 or something.
Okay.
That's the lowest I could go.
Would you do it for $5,000, Angel?
Not 4 days, no. I like my sanity.
Would you do it for $20,000?
Maybe. Yes.
30,000 is a yes then.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Yeah, I would.
Like $1,000.
Like $1,000 a day?
$1,000 for every 12 hours you get.
Oh, yeah.
You get 12 hours, you get $1,000. Because I don't want to like try to push it and end up losing my mind.
But I got 10,000. I see little green aliens everywhere I go now, but I did get $10,000. Bama Bear wants to know your thoughts on the Rihanna halftime show. You big Super Bowl halftime show guy.
Not the biggest, but I watch it though. Just,
yeah,
I mean, just because I've been watching it.
It's never the like if you even if you're the biggest Rihanna fan in the world or whatever, it doesn't feel like their kind of show. It everything's different for the Super Bowl. It's like it's not their best stuff.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes there's be a lot going on.
What's your favorite
show? There's a lot going on.
What's your favorite part about the Super Bowl? Is it the actual game? Is it the commercials? Is it the halftime show or like the food? You're probably gonna say the food, knowing you.
Yeah, food, like, definitely, like, you know, getting together with friends and family, just hanging out, and then you got like you got the chips and dip, you got this food over here, you got all type of wings, you got everything. You
just it's eating. Just like around Christmas when you were like, dude, it's about the food, man. Are you doing anything for the Super Bowl? Like, what does that look like for you guys? So deep into the schedule.
Well, yeah, it's on Sunday, so we'll be here. So who knows? I don't know. Still trying to figure out, but. Somewhere where there's food, though. Either sit down and go get some food or see if the family's cooking or, I don't know, maybe teammates cook or something. I don't know.
Either way, you got the Chiefs winning, so it's you don't even need to watch the game. Dalen, already you got the Chiefs winning.
No, I gotta watch it. I have my Chiefs jacket, Chiefs colors on, everything.
You'll be ready. You know you gotta wear if the Chiefs win, you gotta wear that in on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
So our producer back there will get to see it. He'll really enjoy that. Yeah,
I got something.
All right, coming up for you guys tomorrow night, going up against Portland State. Then on Saturday, right? Saturday, you guys are playing host to Sacramento State. So two opportunities to get out and check out this Bears team before the regular season ends. You only have four home games left.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane, man. You got six games left total.
Yeah, it's crazy. This season flew by, but, I mean, I don't know. It just flew by, though. But we're just trying to end this home stretch out on the right. Home stretch out right. Most of our last games is at home, and then, you know, going into the tournament.
These are some big games. Obviously, they're all big at this point, but Portland State is two games ahead of you, it looks like. Mm-hmm. And then Sacramento State is 2.5 games ahead of you. So, you know, obviously with some help, they lose some more. But if you take care of both of these guys on your home floor, you have a chance to really start moving up. There's still a chance you guys can slide into that fifth spot.
Yeah, just trying to use these games to climb up. I mean, game by game, just to, you know, put ourselves in a better situation going into that tournament. Just trying to climb up to that spot. Maybe we could get a bye that first round. But, yeah, just trying to use those games to climb up.
And refresh our listeners' memory. Top five gets the first round bye, right?
Yep.
And if the standings were to end this way right now, you guys would be playing four games in the Big Sky tournament. Is that right?
Yeah.
If that's the way, assuming, of course, you keep winning, you'd have four. You'd have to win four games to punch a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get in the top five, you'd have to win three games. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's an opportunity there. And I know, again, after watching that Weber State game, your confidence level as a team right now has to be maybe not at an all-time high, but pretty darn high.
Yeah, it's definitely better. I mean, just seeing the ball go through and us being able to defend that we've been, you know, just talking about it for so long and us finally being able to really do it. Just kind of using that as a building block and a stepping stone for this next game and just keep going from there.
Yeah, well, at this point, I mean, I know, you have six games left, but are you just chomping at the bit wanting to just get into that tournament? Or is this like, no, we can't even be thinking about that right now. We want to keep ironing some stuff out.
Right now we're just trying to figure ourselves out, make sure we're doing what we need to do to become better and take the steps to be, you know, a better team and just trying to get to playing our best basketball. Coming down to the end of the season and going into the tournament.
Well, if that game on Monday night is any indication, it looks like you guys are starting to play some of your best basketball. Dalen, my man, we wish you the best of luck coming up in these next few games. I don't know what our schedule is going to look like for you next week. You guys are on the road at Idaho on next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens with our Wednesday show.
Yeah.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
All right, my man. Well, best of luck to you. Congratulations on a huge win Monday night. That was so much fun to watch. This community, they really enjoyed themselves. And that's kind of what I've been talking about these last couple of days is, man, that there's some great basketball going on in our state. There's some great basketball going on right here in Greeley. And that was a pleasure to watch that one. That was fun, man.
Yeah, it was fun to be a part of him playing it. It's pretty cool.
All right, best of luck to you tomorrow night, and then we'll catch up with you next week, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, my man. That's him, Dalen Kuntz, one of the studs for the UNC Bears, as they got a big win over Weber State on Monday night, 88-54. They're looking to recapture that momentum going up against Portland State tomorrow night. And students, go out there. There's free pizza going to be involved. That'll do it for the Dalen Kuntz Show. We'll get back at it. We got our poll question locked and loaded. Where does LeBron James rank amongst the NBA greatest of all time? We'll talk about that. Some Broncos stuff, some Nuggets stuff, all that and more when we resume the whole show coming up. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.